Did anybody play Sentinel Worlds? This is the group I should ask this.
Future Worlds 1 or whatever it is.
Future Magic. Yeah, I played that. That was a terrible game. I did not list it because it was not a good game. But like, I wonder, like, I'm going to paste the picture. How did they get away with this? Because it had basically pictures of Sigourney Weaver and Arnold Schwarzenegger in the game without buying their licenses.
And Billy Dee Williams, as I recall.
Yeah. And it was like you were a dot viewed from above, and the map would rotate around you super slow. And it was like, oh, what a bad game. I spent way too many hours on that.
It was not good. It was not in the same league as Starflight, which was just slightly before that.
Yeah, so the curse of being young is that you play whatever game you happen to have. And if you made the poor choice to buy Sentinel Worlds, you're going to play Sentinel Worlds because you can't buy another game for another 3 months.
Well, there was a time there when you could pretty much buy anything Electronic Arts released and be guaranteed a pretty good game. And I think that was on the very tail end of that period.
Yeah, it was like the SSI games. Like, you knew what you were getting. You know, Dan mentioned Pool of Radiance. Like, you couldn't go wrong with those games, but it's kind of like you would go wrong in the same way all the time. So just buy it. Eye of the Beholder, like, you know what you're getting.
If you like Wizardry and you like Ultima, this thing called Oubliette, same game again. Just grab it. It'll be fine.
Different graphics. Yep. Got to make the numbers go up.
Oubliette's like an old Vax game, isn't it? Is that ancient? I thought that was pre-Wizardry.
It could be. I remember it as being a lot like Wizardry, but I have a lot of games that I played at the same time that were all the same thing.
Yeah.
That there was one called Dungeon, D-U-N-Z-H-I-N. That I remember because it had voice emulation on the PC, which was the first time I'd seen that.
It was like Lynx, the golf game.
And it had a crazy copy protection system that involved laser holes in the disc or something. So we couldn't copy it for 6 months until we got a new utility.
I always remember the Dial-A-Pirate wheel from Secret of Monkey Island.
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of printouts of wheels like that.
I think
the second one, right?
Yeah, I think my copy of TIE Fighter may not have been legitimate. I feel like I have a memory of a sticky note with just like a random list of Star Wars terms because they were it was like turn to page 10, paragraph 2, word 5, and like there'd only be 10 or 12 of them.
You also made a quick reference list, right? Because you're like, I
did that so I didn't have to flip open
up
the book of my totally legitimate copy. Yeah.
A Mind Forever Voyaging had this ridiculous chart that you had to work through 6 times in the game and...
Well, those games that made you look up stuff in the manuals, the key part of those, and I remember Falcon being the game, I had to do that a lot, the F-16 simulator, the Mac version, obviously, was that it came with a manual that was like practically the size of a phone book. And games don't come with anything anymore. Like, Nintendo games came with a pamphlet that you didn't read, and these flight simulator games would come with a big, thick, like, you know, a book with a spine.
Yeah.
I always read the books, so I'm glad I never bought any games with manual-sized books.
Well, Infocom figured out the way to do it is actually not ask questions, but just have the solution to the puzzle be hinted at in the book. Hmm. Like, they would have a picture showing which door is unlocked, and if you open the wrong one.
I remember playing the Hitchhiker's
like
game
Sierra
on Apple II.
And LucasArts games, there were helplines that you would call and get help on the puzzles.
Well, the great thing about Sierra,
I don't think my parents ever allowed me to do that. I think I had to work through them. I think they were wise to 1-900 numbers or whatever they were.
The great thing about Sierra in the very early days when they were just online systems and putting out stuff like Mystery House and Cranston Manor, that phone number was to the Roberta Williams and Ken Williams' house. So if you called them in the middle of the night, you'd wake them up demanding how to get around the robot wandering around Cranston Manor. But yeah, you could have a nice chat with the creators of the game.
I remember I had to call to find out how you got to be a bishop in Wizardry. There were 4 classes you started with and 4 special classes, but they never said how to get into any of them. I was like, I want to be a samurai.
I think I was stuck for like a year on The Secret of Monkey Island because there was a puzzle that was pun-based, and I was too young to understand.
Oh, you hadn't met Dan yet. He could have fixed you up.
I had not met Dan yet.
I would have been all over that.
The guy had to be good for something.
I never got past the freaking...
eat it, Dan.
I never got past the damn babelfish on Hitchhiker's Guide.
I mean, I think everyone gets stuck
in the pre-internet days, getting stuck on games was a real thing. I spent a long time stuck in Transylvania, which I believe was also for the Apple II.
I mean, the Hitchhiker's Game one, there were like a dozen of us all sitting around the computer, like in the computer lab at school, trying to be like, try this. No, try that.
Well, that was why the like the LucasArts games were kind of breakthrough.
That's something that's missing from gaming nowadays. You don't have to go, you know, call up the futility of life. People just, what the hell did you do with the, you know, the snake behind the rock?
We've taken the futility of life and incorporated it into the real world and not just your escapism.
Well, no, there's still games that you can't pass because they're too hard. Like, you know, they sit down with bring a Super Monkey Ball again, or now these days Dark Souls or whatever. Like, it'll stop you from progressing. You'll know what you're supposed to do. You just will not be able to do it.
The game. Every conversation I have with Jason Tosi devolves into telling me about some insane thing in Dark Souls.
Yeah.
I think the game is apparently cryptically like impossible and weird.
I think the game I had the most fun beating was the Infocom game Planetfall, where I was playing at my computer and I was on the phone to my friend who lived two blocks away, and he was also playing it. So for three solid days, we kept saying, "Where are you? What are you doing? I just found this circuit board. Have you seen anything?" And it was a really fun interactive way.
I have a very distinct memory of playing, I think Steve mentioned Dark Forces, or one of you guys mentioned Dark Forces, and I have a very, very distinct memory of playing that on my Mac back in the day when, you know, it was like high school, and I was actually talking on the phone with Jason Tosi, and he was like, oh, I gotta go talk to, like, check something, and he left, and I was like sitting there with the phone cradled against my ear playing Dark Forces and like totally wrapped up with it. He came back an hour later not realizing he'd left the phone off, though. He's like, you're still here? It's like, oh man, I was playing this game, I was shooting things, there was like an alien, I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, speaking of sounds of typing over the phone, Jason, I realized I had neglected to launch Shush, the thing that mutes my microphone, until about an hour 30 into this podcast, so just silence me out.
You're an animal. Right.
When I'm blowing my nose and taking drinks of water.
Okay.
I remember I was not allowed to play first-person shooters like Doom and Quake, but somehow I convinced my parents that it was okay to play Dark Forces because it was a Star Wars game.
It was much more wholesome.
Wow, that whole Counter-Strike thing was really kind of your act of rebellion.
That
huh?
was in college. That was
I know, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're like, free the parents. I can play like 5 hours of Counter-Strike.
How did Dark Forces not get mentioned, by the way, being that it's a superb game?
I mentioned.
Totally forgot about it until you mentioned it, but yeah, it was great. I own the CD-ROM version for my Mac.
That was easily the best first-person shooter until Half-Life came out.
I thought the graphics on that were so amazing, too. I'm like, Stormtroopers, they actually looked like Stormtroopers!
It had real 3D in terms of places that had multiple levels, as opposed to, I mean, obviously...
Yeah, you could fall Doom down and, things and stuff.
Yeah, like, you could actually fall down places, as opposed to being a three-dimensional game that would only be on one level, right?
Well, it had some levels that had some like, they felt like real places. I think that was kind of the first game where that was true.
I remember there was a Dianoga
There was a Dianoga.
On the train, I think, right? Wasn't that Dark Forces?
There's that whole sewer level that really kind of, I think that was like the third level where you had
Well, it was very maze-like. Yeah,
the sewer level was no good.
They did some very interesting things, and then with the sequels, I remember there was one of the expansions where, I think it was one of the expansions to Jedi Knight, and there was the confusing, like, Jedi Knight with Dark Forces 2, and then Jedi Knight 2 is not Dark Forces 3. Video games are really good at numbering. They're great at that. But one of the expansions for it was really great, where you were fighting Dark Jedi, and there was a fight that you could only win, and I'm ruining this game for you, but I'm guessing you're not going to go and play a random expansion to Dark Forces from 15 years ago. You could only win by putting your lightsaber away and, like, being struck down Obi-Wan style. So you would just keep fighting the Dark Jedi forever and ever, and you could not beat him in combat.
Was that the crazy guy that was, like, jumping all over the place, and you could never really get a beat on him? I think I remember that from Dark Forces 2.
It was in, I think, the Mara Jade expansion.
My friends and I started playing the Jedi Academy, which is based on the Quake engine in college, and we liked playing the multiplayer and playing against the bots, and we found out for some reason the hardest bot for us to beat was the Mon Mothma bot. So we just we had 20 of them, and they would float regally around the corner, and we'd all scream and run away. It was pretty great, though.
That game, I will say, the Dark Forces and Jedi Knight games were particularly bad for crates. They had space crates, and they were just littered around. It was like, we don't know where crates are, we don't know where they come from, but we know we can't build a room without having a bunch of crates here.
Well, you know, I stopped the show a while ago. Although the live stream is still broadcasting. Steve, say goodnight to the chat room.
Oh, I did that last time. I don't care anymore. I only needed to say goodbye to him once. Okay. I think that's pretty much, I'm covered.
Yeah, no, I think these days you say goodbye to them by just pasting a whole bunch of swastikas.
Yeah, yes, pretty much.
That's the way the cool kids
How it's done.
Eat it, chat room!
Eat it!
All right, we're off. And it's one Eastern, so you guys should maybe stop talking and go to bed.
But now you got me like riled up. I'm ready to talk more video.
I could seriously have done like 5 rounds of this.
I could have done 13 rounds.
Well, the draft is like, nice in that everyone gets to speak, but at the same time, it doesn't necessarily promote the interesting crosstalk discussions that we're having.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have like 8 stories to talk about StarCraft.
We really should maybe like
maybe you should have picked it.
We really should kind of like limit
it was
the length.
It was
of,
4. I was told there would be 4 rounds.
Was one of them about the bill of one goods. Of our friends' brothers?
If we kind of cut the length of soliloquying that people could do in each of these drafts, it might. Yeah. But then again, there are some games that you know you're the only person that knows.
Right.
You're the only person who can say anything about.
Let's tell your stories about SSI Baseball Manager.
Yes.
I could have talked about Micro League Baseball. I played that a bit.
Yeah, I played that one
that,
too.
That wasn't quite as statty, but I seem to recall.
Guys,
most of
I think
what
I fell asleep, but I woke up and you're talking about baseball. Is this a new podcast?
I know I played some baseball computer game, but I don't remember which one. It was just
there was Micro League. There was Star League. There were a bunch. There was RBI Baseball.
You've been recruited by
Steven
the Star
is out
League.
Playing that on the Xbox at this very moment.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, too much baseball in my life right now.
And hockey.
Way too much. No, actually, I'm really good with hockey. Right. I can handle more of that.
It's good you're in Canada then.
Yeah, it is.
But did he build that thing to try and get the Expos to come back, or what's the...
you know, that wasn't the intent,
go, man.
But
if it
worked, he'd be so pleased.
They're gone already, Chief.
He still has an Expos hat he wears every now and then.
Seek help.
I'll mention this on the book club, but I just read a book about the Expos.
What
you
should
get?
You
should.
I know.
I just read a book about the Expos. Oh, you should get that book for Steven. It's called. Up,
he just
he's
got
just up,
it.
Up
the entire
away
1987
right.
season.
Yeah,
he's already started reading it.
I just finished it.
Yep,
it's a bit of an expose.
Oh, Dan.
Oh. Good night, everybody. Oh, wow.
Incidentally, Myst is on the iPad, but it surprisingly to me is not fun to play there.
It was not fun to play on any platform.
Wow. I agree with that.
Let's flip some switches.
Tell.
It was fun, but Riven was better. Riven is where it finally found its groove.
For Myst, I could never tell what I was supposed to be clicking on, what's just
you just hold down the command key and HyperCard highlights them.
Yeah. Myst was HyperCard, the illustrated story, yes. Basically.
Oh, yeah.
Riven was an experience.
It was. That's funny. That's right when I started a Mac user. And so all of these.
So many.
It's CD-ROM multimedia games, man. Riven and Journeyman Project and all of those. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Your files. You should send them to me sometime. And thank you for helping me get ahead in recording sessions before I have to go away for a very long time. To prison.
I do want to say baseball team.
One other thing.
Yes.
Homegrownfreaks.com. Homegrownfreaks.com.
Swastika, 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 swastika.
Can't wait for the phone games draft.
Homegrownfreaks.com.
The best thing about 5x5 is the community.
That's not a 5x5, that's Freenode.
Yeah, that's Freenode.
Sure, I know. Bots in every channel.
I know.
I don't think I've ever seen a spammer pop.
Oh, my
pop
God,
in.
Yeah. No. I haven't seen this much. This is a lot.
No, I asked...
Peace out.
I asked... I sent an email to Dan saying, hey, how about giving me the mod power on that channel? So I can,
it's called Ops, Jason.
I can kick those guys. Well, whatever. I want to kick those guys.
Yeah, you're not allowed mod power unless you know what it's called.
I don't really care. Well, then they can make a robot and assign it to me through their task manager. I don't really care how they do it. Just
Snellbot.
I want to be able to.
You just need power.
I just want the power. That's all. The power to turn off the swastikas.
And the glory.
So Eisenhower power is what I really need.
Did somebody say Eisenhower?
Yeah.
Phil's not here, so I can't stand it.
You can follow General Eisenhower on Twitter.
I don't know. I regret
they
everything.
Just call it
I was there when he created that account. I watched him create it.
That's a great
you guys
story.
Were really bored in that offsite.
Yeah,
huh?
We were really bored, man. Yep, that was when we were so bored we left the offsite and went outside to create a fake Twitter account.
Or Dwight David Eisenhower. Let's not forget that part.
Yep,
that is something.
You're welcome for the interstate highways.
Mason, how many Twitter accounts do you have? Would you say?
Me, well, I don't have General Eisenhower.
One time, sure.
No, that's totally Phil.
My Twitter for Mac app has 14 accounts in it.
Holy shit!
But most of them I don't use very often. Well, I mean, I've got all the work brands in there. I've got PC World, yeah. Macworld, Tech Hive, Greenbot.
I've abandoned most of my fake ones. So
yeah. Clockwise.
I mean, some of them, like that. my old Read It Now one that Lex and I came up with, is kind of a one trick pony. We got a surprising amount of mileage out of it, though.
Yeah. Tech Shark.
Oh no,
not mine.
Who's the Tech Shark? Is that Tony?
Who do you think the Tech Shark is?
I thought it was you.
No, it's not me. Yeah, it's Mr. Sindelar.
Oh, that's Tony.
I just retweeted
all
the time.
Okay. All right, Tony has passed away. So goodbye, Tony.
Yeah, I was surprised.
We'll miss you. You were great.
Normally, he would take credit for that.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks for being here.
Bye. Adios. Here goes Tony.